What's up, Conference USA fans? We're back again with another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm your host, Sarah Rudolph, and we have our final CUSA football preview episode for you today. This time, we will be talking about the Kennesaw State Owls, and we are excited to get those interviews underway. But first, back again, Josh Yonas, thanks for joining me again on the show.
I know, excited to just put a nice little hat on our season preview series here. It's been a lot of fun.
It has. It's been a lot of fun.
We played ball.
We played live ball this weekend in week zero. We'll maybe talk about that a little bit later. But first, we want to get to this Kennesaw State preview. And we have a great guest joining us today, a student there at Kennesaw State, sports editor of the KSU Sentinel, Kai Millette. Kai, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
Kai, just to get us started here, we'll kind of start a little high level. Obviously, entirely new staff under new head coach Jerry Mack. A lot of newness on the roster as well. You guys brought in around 60 newcomers. Just what's the vibe been like around campus with the new staff, with a lot of the new guys, and kind of what have you picked up on throughout camp and as we get into game week?
I'd say so far so good. You know, it's still very much the honeymoon phase. You know, it's hard to judge when we haven't seen any football games be played yet. But I think so far, Mac's done a good job in the off season when it comes to promotion around campus and, you know, bringing the right people in and getting people invested. I think people are really excited about the Mac era. You know, Kennesaw State football fans have only known one head coach ever, and that's Brian Bohannon. So this is the first time that, you know, the diehards have really gotten a chance to go through something like this. So, you know, a lot of freshness. Offense is going to look completely different. Defense is going to look a little different. You know, we're going to throw the football downfield for maybe the first time ever. So it's exciting.
Yeah, well, okay, you talked about passing the football downfield maybe for the first time ever. So obviously there was a little bit of a quarterback battle going on this summer, but Dexter Williams II won the job. Tell me a little bit about what you've seen from him and maybe give some history, some backstory about him to the fans that may be listening who don't know.
Yeah, Dexter's an exciting prospect. He started his career at Indiana, actually started a couple games at Indiana, won a game in the Big Ten. I think it was against Michigan State way back in 2020 or 2021. He ends up at Georgia Southern last year. Did not start for the Eagles last season, but did play sparingly. And when he got in, he played really well. Led a massive comeback against Marshall last season. You know, throws a really tight spiral. I mean, like, the guy's only thrown something like 40, 50 passes as a college quarterback, so there's not a ton of tape on him. But the little there is looks really impressive. You know, we mentioned we've never really seen a quarterback be able to throw the ball downfield a whole lot at Kennesaw State. You know, you went from the triple option to the pistol briefly, and even then the quarterback play was just not up to par in the pistol. And now Dexter comes in and first play of the spring game, you know, 60 yards down the seam to Gabriel Benyard. And that's just something that we've literally never seen in the history of the program. So, excited to have him. Not surprised that he, you know, took the job. Seems like the best pure quarterback on the roster. So should be a big upgrade at that position this year.
And a little bit of a storyline too, because you guys play at Indiana later this season. So that's, I like that. I think that adds some fun to it.
That's always fun for sure. As you alluded to, you know, kind of transitioning out of this ground and pound offense that people have seen from Kennesaw for years and shifting to a much more tempo offense, which is going to come with, you know, a lot of needs across the roster, right? And there's going to be a lot of new faces on that offense when they stroll out for the first time against Wake Forest. Who are some of the guys on offense that you've really seen stand out in the early goings throughout camp in the spring game? I know you just mentioned the big play with, you know, Gabe Benyard, who has been a kind of a mainstay there at Kennesaw. But who are some of the other names that have been jumping out that you expect to be key contributors?
Yeah, Benyard, if he stays healthy, is really a Swiss Army knife type of guy. He might be, you know, a top two or three receiver on the roster, and he's also probably the best running back on the roster. But it's interesting, the receiver room, I felt like had a good bit of potential last year. It was just quarterback play that kind of held it back. You just couldn't get the ball to him. Christian Moss is a guy who came over from Virginia Tech, I think after taking a year off of football. You know, he went to high school around the Kennesaw area. He showed flashes last year. He's got a lot of speed. He's got good hands. Coleman Bennett, he's the running back that comes over from Rice. He was previously at Bucknell, where he had a couple solid years at the FCS level. I would expect the running back committee to be sort of between him and Chase Belcher, who comes over from down the road at West Georgia. Tight ends, it's going to be sort of a who steps up type of situation. Gerard Bullock came in from Tennessee State, where he started most of their games last year. Didn't have a ton of pass catching production. He's a little undersized, but I think they like his blocking ability a good bit. Samaje Parker is a guy who came over from Mississippi State. Didn't play much over there, but you know, the guy was on an SEC roster, so that's, it's got to hold some weight, right? And then, you know, Dexter at quarterback. If he goes down, you got two guys behind him that are at least interesting. Tommy Ulatowski, who started most of the year at Kent State last year. Then Amari Odom, who's got a really big frame, good arm. He comes over from Wofford. So it's a surprising amount of returning production, actually, especially in the wide receiver core. We just haven't been able to see him, you know, work with a quarterback of Dexter Williams' caliber.
Yeah, and piggybacking off of that, I know, you know, we got a chance to have Christian Moss here for Media Day, and that was one of the big talking points was, you know, his ability was kind of being
hindered,
stifled, in that offense because it just didn't, they weren't throwing the ball, like you said earlier. And so, yeah, he's one that, that I think a lot of people should be excited about with his frame. Obviously a bigger guy, I think he's 6'3". And so, yeah, if you're bringing in a guy who can, you know, truck it down the field to him, I could see a lot of big plays in the Owls' future.
It's got to be exciting for Owls fans there just to see, like you were saying earlier, a little bit of a different brand of football there this year. And so we talked about Christian Moss. Got to plug it so that people stick around. My interview with Coach Jerry Mack, Christian Moss, and Jericho Washington Jr. will follow this directly. So if you're listening and you want to hear that, stay around after Kai's interview for that. Well, talking about Jericho Washington Jr. and the defensive side of the ball, you did a great preview for us on who we need to watch on offense. But let's talk about the other side of the ball, defensive returners, maybe some transfers in that we should be keeping an eye out on. What do you think the Owls defense is going to look like this year?
Yeah, it's interesting because there was a lot of overhaul. I think we're second in the conference in incoming transfers this year. I think the number was 33. But in the secondary, in theory, you could roll over the same unit from last year. Jericho Washington Jr.'s had back-to-back nice years. Tyler Hallam has become a really nice player in the secondary. Isaac Paul started last year. Mylon Jones, who's another local high school kid, comes back. So yeah, there's a chance that, you know, some of these transfers like Antonio Stevens, who started most of last season at Purdue, comes in and maybe takes one of those jobs. But in theory, you could just roll over the same unit from last year, which, you know, I mean, the team struggled last year. It wasn't the secondary's problem. You know, they held their own a good bit at linebacker. Garland Benyard, brother of Gabe Benyard, was a standout last year. He's got a big frame, just goes and gets the ball. Defensive line, you got a couple of guys returning. You got the Uganda Woha, Juan Silas, a couple of guys who had big years last year. But I don't know. We'll see. The defense really wasn't the problem last year. You know, the team goes 2-10, but there were a lot of games that we were in because the defense showed up and really pulled their weight. So I think Antonio Stevens, if he's able to win the job at DB, is somebody to really watch. You know, I mean, the guy started in the Big Ten. Granted, it was Purdue, but anytime you get a name like that, a guy who's been in college football for, I think, 5 years now, I think this is year six for him, that's somebody you're going to want to watch.
Yeah, I mean, on the defensive side, I know we were kind of, you know, pulling some stuff together for Media Day prep. You know, seeing the ESPN numbers on returning production, you guys were towards the top there, and a bulk of that was on the defensive side of the ball. Now, again, like you said earlier, yes, they're returning from a 2-10 team, but I think that it's certainly not underestimated to point out, you know, how many of those guys are coming back, how much better they can gel. I think that secondary group obviously had its moments. You go back to the Liberty game, Tyler Hallam had a big interception in that game. There were a lot of big plays of the defense made to shut down one of the best offenses in the conference, and obviously come away with one of the biggest wins in program history, really. So obviously a lot of reasons to be excited on the defense. I know that the transition on scheme, you know, going from that 3-4 to the 4-2-5, have you noticed any hiccups there with, you know, kind of in the linebacker group or that just anywhere in that front seven, mixing that up with the returning guys?
I can't say yet. They haven't given us a whole lot of access to practice over fall camp, which is kind of to be expected, you know, in first year head coach. So I haven't gotten to see a whole lot of the defense. It'll be an interesting adjustment. You know, there were times last year where the front was great, and there were times last year where the front, you know, couldn't stop anything. So Wake has a really solid running game. It's going to be interesting to see that play out against a Power 5 opponent. But yeah, the front seven's definitely, you know, one of those units that I think could go either way. And it's just kind of an unknown right now.
Well, you mentioned it, you kind of teased it for us. Let's talk about your schedule a little bit. So, obviously starting the season off at Wake Forest this upcoming Friday, 7 PM on ACC Network. Tell us a little bit about, you know, just the prep work you've been doing looking into that game. Give us a little preview maybe of that game going into this weekend.
Sure. So that game has sort of defined the next couple of days for me. You know, I'm talking to all sorts of people from Wake side, taking calls from people over there. I think we come in as a 17-point underdog, which is not that heavy considering it's, you know, Kennesaw State versus a power conference team. They just named their starting quarterback Robbie Ashford, who spent time at Auburn, spent time at South Carolina, put up so numbers in the SEC. You know, maybe this is his opportunity to break out at the power conference level. I think this game is competitive into the second half. I'm not gonna go predict a Kennesaw State victory. I think that'd be foolish at this point, you know, in this Jerry Mack era. That being said, I think this game's probably closer than people expect it to be. You know, it's first game for everybody. I know they've got a solid running game. Mack was adamant about that in his press conference earlier today, but you know, they're first year head coach as well. I'm just excited to see some football on Friday. I'll leave it at that.
Amen to that.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you guys come out with two big tests against Wake Forest, as you mentioned. You get Indiana the following week, who was a playoff team last year. But I think what jumps out to me after that is that four-game homestand, starting with the game against Merrimack. You get, you know, what should be a win, right, to get into the win column to begin the year, unless you pull off an upset in weeks one or two. And then you get Arkansas State coming to town, which, for those of you who don't know, that's Jerry Mack's alma mater. So, again, another nice little storyline there. And then you start conference play against Middle Tennessee and Louisiana Tech, two teams that were, you know, kind of in the middle last year. You know, La Tech, we expect to be much improved this year. But two teams that, yeah, you bring them at home. You get them under the lights there in Kennesaw. I know that's a big deal, is your home field advantage and your fans getting fired up. It worked against Liberty last year. So maybe a chance to jump out there. There it gets, yeah, a little more interesting. You got to go to FIU, to Jack State, to Liberty. So three tough road trips there. But a couple more winnable games at home down the stretch. So as you look top to bottom there, kind of how do you feel about Kennesaw State? Obviously, I know it's you know, you're not about to come out and say, oh, they're going to win 8-9 games after winning two games the year before. But how optimistic are you looking at that slate?
Right. So obviously, first 2 weeks, you're not coming in expecting wins. You're hoping to take certain things away from those games and understand your team a little better. But odds are, you know, you're not going to get the full offensive package in week two against Kurt Cignetti in Indiana. You know, you're not going to reveal that to maybe some of your conference opponents. Merrimack, I think, is a must win. You know, it's easy to say pencil it in, but last year we came out and lost to UT Martin in week four or whatever it was. So that's something that can't happen. You know, if you want to see progression, you can't afford to lose that game. Arkansas State, I think, will be a good barometer. I think that's a decent sort of middle of the pack group of five program right now. I think Butch Jones is taking them to back-to-back bowl games, you know, but they're not exactly competing for a playoff spot like, you know, the Liberties of the world might be, or the Boise States. So that'll be an interesting test. Should be a good crowd, you know, second home game of the year. Weather should be nice. So really looking forward to that one. I wouldn't predict a win there, but we'll see when we get a little bit closer. And then that next stretch, like you mentioned, I think is the really big one. MTSU, Louisiana Tech, FIU, UTEP, and New Mexico State. I think those are all games that could go either way. And it's going to be a matter of flipping the 50-50 games for KSU. Because look, it's, you know, 1-2 games last season. You were two possessions away from winning four games in that first year in FBS. And, you know, who knows where the program would be now? I mean, might not have let go of Bohannon, you know, at midseason had they won that UTEP game or had they taken that Sam Houston game. I think there's a lot of 50-50 games in Conference USA. I think there's a lot of unknown all across the conference. You know, there's a lot of, you know, new skill position players. There's a lot of new head coaches. So I think there is a path to win 5 or 6 games this year. It's just going to be a matter of how far are they going to come in one off season.
Yeah. And I think those, I mean, it all comes down to coaching, right? In those types of games. So yeah, excited to see how it plays out.
But Kai, you just never know. You look at Sam Houston, who won, what, 3 games the first year in Conference USA and then turned around and won 10.
Yeah.
So you just never
know. Different. Yeah, but it's now you got to execute.
Yes. Well, Kai, I do want to ask you before we let you go. I always like to ask our beat writers or our reporters who are ingrained where they are with their school, covering their school, how they got their start. Obviously, you're still a student there at Kennesaw State, a senior working your 4th year there at the Sentinel, but your 2nd year is the sports editor. Tell us a little bit about, you know, maybe aspiring journalists out there watching. How did you get your start? What do you like about being a sports editor for a school newspaper?
Yeah, I came in, you know, I was always going to major in journalism. This was always the dream, but you know, I was going to be a freshman while I could be a freshman and kind of just have a good time and settle in. And then I think October that first year, I was just like, you know, why not get started now? So I sent an email out. We got onboarded pretty quickly. I kind of figured it out along the way before I started taking my writing classes. There was a lot of trial and error, but I think the best thing for me was just to start somewhere, to start writing. I mean, you know, I covered a lot of women's soccer. I've covered a lot of high school sports. You know, you got to cover anything that's needed, and you gotta find the fun in it. That's my advice. But I'm still very young to this too, so I still find myself asking, you know, the people in my field for advice all the time. So
you're the second student we've had on. We started with a student, and now we're bookending it with a student. So FIU also had a student reporter on. He's doing incredible things as well. So you would have been highly impressive. What was that?
Was it Kevin?
Yeah.
Yes.
Kevin Baral.
Yeah.
Yep. So I'm hardly a student, I feel like.
I know.
With his, you know, expertise and experience there already and covering FIU and the Marlins, you'd have no idea.
But you've been highly impressive. You obviously are deeply ingrained there in the program. We really appreciate your insight and everything that you shared with us today. Obviously, like I said before, Friday, things get underway for the Owls. You can catch the game on ACC Network at 7 p.m. Central Time. It'd be 8 p.m. Eastern, I think, for you guys Eastern time zone in Kennesaw. So thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck the rest of the way. I know you said you might be traveling to some away games, and I know that it's a grind for you as well. So thanks for joining us today, Kai.
Thank you so much for having me. Really enjoyed it.
All right, Owl fans, stick around for my interview from CUSA Football Media Day with head coach Jerry Mack, wide receiver Christian Moss, and defensive back Jericho Washington Jr. All right, everyone. Welcome into another segment here on CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. We are here at the 2025 Conference USA football kickoff here in Frisco, Texas, at the PGA of America headquarters. And joining me right now, we have the Kennesaw State Owls. Coach Jerry Mack is joining us today. Also, Christian Moss and Jericho Washington Jr. Thank you guys so much for being with us. Excited to talk a little ball and a little fun stuff, too. Awesome. Well, first things first, a very kind of simple question that I have for you guys is we're about to start the 2025 season. You guys had your first year in Conference USA this past season, kind of showed everyone what Kennesaw State was all about. But heading into 2025, what are you guys excited to show other fans from other schools, your own fans, what Kennesaw State football is?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just the new era. More than anything else, we brought in a ton of new coaches, support staff, administration people. So we're excited about getting in the building and make sure to understand our fan base, not only just our community, but also to our students on campus. We're excited about engaging with them more than anything else.
Yeah. Anything to add, guys?
Yeah, we're excited to prove ourselves. Obviously, we didn't have the year we won it last year, but everyone's hungry. Like I said a couple months ago, you can see the chemistry being built. And we're just ready to go out there and put on display what we've been working for this offseason.
Awesome.
Adding on to that, the new culture that's just been brought in, everyone's bought into it. So I feel like this season you know, it'd be a special one for us.
You mentioned the new culture that's kind of surrounding the Owls program this year, but there's also kind of a new style of play that you guys are implementing this year, more of a tempo offense. Coach, can you speak to that a little bit? What type of plays you're bringing in this year that maybe were not present in this past year?
Yeah, you know, my background has always been more of a spread, no huddle tempo, you know, a little bit different than what they've experienced in the past in the program. It's had a lot of success. But, you know, when you have a new coach and a new change, you know, you got to do what you're familiar with. You got to do what, you know, philosophically you believe in, what's been able to get me in this position to have success. So we're just bringing a new style of offense. You know, the plays are the plays. You know, these guys right here, they actually make it work. So no matter what we draw up, it's still going to be up to these two to make those things, you know, magic.
And you guys are heading into camp. When do you guys start?
28th.
All right. Coming right up. Are you guys looking forward to that? Is there something in particular mentality wise or just locker room that you guys are talking about right now heading into camp starting?
We're excited to work, compete. We brought in a lot of new guys, so it'll be exciting to see offense versus defense in this camp.
Awesome.
You know, what I tell my guys when I get back is just take it day by day. Don't try to look too far into the future. You got to live in the moment. One of my favorite things to live by is carpe diem. So it basically means like just seize the moment. So just take everything day by day and play by play.
Great. Okay. Staying on the like locker room talk kind of vibe that I kind of started with. If there was a way that you guys would want to describe the brand of Kennesaw State football going into 2025, maybe a word or two or a sentence or two, how would you guys describe your brand this year?
Well, I would say right now, you know, one of the acronyms we use a lot, and it's going to be on the helmet as well, is HIT 'em. It's HETM. And that acronym stands for hit anything, hit everything that moves, to be honest with you. You know, the physical style of play that we want to incorporate, the fast, the speed, the tempo, everything. We want to make mistakes when we do. We want to make them at full speed. You know, we talk a lot of times about when you play the game fast and violent, it overcomes a lot of mistakes. So we just kind of want to be known for that kind of style of play. We always want to be one of the faster teams in this league. We're in a location in the area that allows us to recruit, you know, speed.
Yeah, absolutely. On the defensive side, how is that mentality going through this season?
It's a good one. You know, our coach Mattioli preaches 11 hats to the ball every play. You know, and then no loafs. You know, let's say one person does miss a tackle. If you have 10 of your brothers coming to the ball, you know, he's not going to get no explosive plays. So, you know, just having 11 hats to the ball, that would be a great thing for us.
Awesome. Anything to add on the offensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I would just say we're hungry. Obviously, we want to play fast and be where we need to be. Coach Mitch, he makes sure that we're sharp. We, you know, we do a lot of extra walkthroughs and, you know, we're ready to put it all on display. So I would say we're hungry on offense.
Awesome. I'm excited to see you guys, this different brand of football going into this year. I think that a lot of people have several games on y'all circled as big ones to watch. Do you guys, I know that, you know, Coach Speed, you're always just looking at the next game, week one, you know, that's the game we're looking at. But are there any games, any home games maybe in particular, that maybe you might have an extra circle around going into this season?
Well, I'm excited for our first home game. You know, I think it's the third game of the season to get a chance, like I said before, to get around our students, get around our community, just for them to see the new area, a new vision of Kennesaw State football. Anytime you get a chance to impress those fans and those people that have invested in you so much throughout the course of this whole year, like you always want to make a good first impression.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the Owl faithful. I think that's one thing that we talked a lot about with you guys coming in last year was how great your fan base is. And I think that that was on full display this past year and excited to see it again. Kennesaw, Georgia loves them some football, like for sure. So Jericho, I heard that you were actually nominated for the Good Works team of this year. Congratulations. But why is service in your community so important to you?
You know, just so my mom, she's a teacher, and my dad, he's also a teacher as well. So, you know, sometimes when I have my breaks, you know, I go back to your school and just seeing the ones that don't really have everything that they should have, you know, just being able to give back to those kids, you know, is really inspiring. I know back in middle school, I took a trip to Africa and I helped like the homeless shelter out there, you know, so just seeing those, you know, you can't take anything for granted because one, you don't know when it's your last day or when everything can go away. So just being able to give back to those kids is very special in my opinion.
Awesome. They're great. You two great kids that are over there. But that answer was pretty spectacular.
That's why they're here right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so looking, maybe flipping the script a little bit and going to some more fun questions now. I love asking this question because the fan base likes to hear the answer. So in your locker room, and coach, you can give an answer either on the locker room or the coaching room, okay? Who is the funniest person in your locker room? Like, always going to throw a joke out there or cut up and think that I've left.
I got to go with freshman Clayton. He's hilarious. That's my guy. He makes me laugh every single day. So just being around him is nice.
Awesome.
Yes. The new freshman we brought in, Clayton. Clayton is a character.
What position does he play?
Plays receiver.
Okay. So you're around him a lot then.
Yeah.
He's always throwing something out there. Okay. Coach, do you think you have a different answer to that?
As far as a player or coach?
What, you give me a coach one. I want to know the coach's side.
Well, I think all our coaches are our characters, to be honest with you. But I think the one that I enjoy watching coach the most is Coach Block. It's our special teams coordinator.
Okay.
Super intense, high energy. It's just fun to be around him and just kind of see his passion for the game.
Awesome. Okay, on the flip side of that question, who is way too serious and needs a little laughter in their life in the locker room?
Coach Mattioli.
Oh man, is that your answer to you?
Player wise, I'll probably say Davis. He's always, you know, trying to make sure we're together. He gets very serious sometimes, but that's what we need. So,
you're not gonna say yourself. You're not the serious one in here.
No, I think I'm pretty kind of low key, laid back. But I think from a standpoint of player, man, is one that like super intense, okay. Like. I don't know if I've ever seen the guy smile and play linebacker with him.
Man, really?
Which is probably a good trait.
That is probably a good thing to have at that position for sure. So another kind of fun question. I always love to ask our student athletes this question because you are student first, athlete second. So tell me about your guys' major and what you guys are studying right now and maybe what some career aspirations are for you guys in the future once football is done for you.
So like I said, I'm majoring in interdisciplinary studies. Kind of by default, because once I transferred, I lost a lot of credit, so I had to take this major. But I want to get my master's in education, so I just actually am finishing up doing my internship with the athletic department with the athletic director, A.D. Overton. So that's kind of the field I want to go into.
My major is sports management. I love to be a coach one day, and I also love to be athletic director. You know, just stay around the game of football, because I've been playing this since I was six. So.
Wow. That is a long time. That's crazy. All right, Coach, I asked you this before we got started, but what was your major?
So I was a management information system major and probably didn't realize I wanted to coach probably until I was close to graduation.
That just lends itself to coaching so well, though.
Yeah. But it's been a fun journey. It's been an opportunity to get around young people, mentor and develop, you know, not just players, but also coaches and you know, support staff.
Yeah, awesome. All right, I have a final question for you all. I always ask, but I always ask our guests on the show, this segment, we call it CUSA Eats. So if I am visiting Kennesaw, Georgia, and I've got a day or two to be in town, where are the places that I need to stop and grab a bite to eat in Kennesaw or surrounding areas?
This spot I go to, you get 10-piece wings, $7 with fries.
That's a pretty good deal.
It's called Gourmet Cafe. So they have some good food. Then also it's a spot by a gas station called Big Fish and Chicken. They sell some good chicken tenders and fries. So if you're ever in town, you know, stop by those places.
All right. Chicken and fries. That's what you like. See, I got that easy. What about you, Christian?
My favorite, my go-to is JJ's Fish and Chicken. It's in Atlanta. It's not really in Kennesaw, but probably one of the best chicken places in the whole state, in my opinion. And then you can't go wrong with American Deli, so...
What's American? Is it just a deli?
No, they got wings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they kind of got a mix of everything: wings, fries, burgers, and it's pretty good price. So
nice. You have any to add?
You know, it's one spot I've been kind of obsessed with the last few weeks: Marietta Diner.
Okay,
it's 24 hours, every breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Whatever you have a taste for, seafood, barbecue, wings—it doesn't matter. Like they had it.
Love that. Is it like a meet and three type diner, or is it like you just
order off the menu, they've got it.
Yeah, you order off the menu, they got it. And it's pretty well known. So when you walk in, there's a lot of celebrities that have came through there because it's open 24 hours. So, you know, they get done with those concerts late at night, they slide in there for a quick meal.
Nice, nice. Okay, I'm going to throw another one at you, Coach Mack, because you and I talked yesterday. You and I have something in common. We're both born and raised in Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
The 901 represents. So now I need to know your favorite place to eat in Memphis. I'm just curious.
Look, I am a diehard Crumpy's hot wing guy.
Okay.
Like forever and a day, I will always be Crumpy's.
Now y'all got to go visit Memphis and go to Crumpy's. Yeah, okay. See, I was a Ching's Wings. Have you ever?
Yeah.
Ching's Wings kind of girl. And then Central Barbecue. That's my right here restaurant. I lived down the street. I grew up down the street from there. So that's my spot. Okay, now it's my actual final question leading into the 2025 season. We've talked a lot about you guys and what you are saying in the locker room, your brand of football. But if there's one thing that you could say to the other fans out there, the media, anything that you just want to leave with the group today going into 2025, what do you want people to know about the Kennesaw State Owls?
I just think you're going to see a new version and a new style of play. And that does just to speak to our schemes and kind of what we like to do, offense, defense, special teams. But also, too, you know, I hope that the way our student athletes play the game on the grass, under the lights, it just reflects what we represent as a university. You know, we're a strong, hard, fast university. We're one of the up-and-coming, growing programs in the country. And we want to really reflect that on the grass. We want guys to see us playing fast and physical, down in and down out, the way we play the game.
Awesome. Jericho, Christian, anything to add to that?
Like you said, we just want to play fast and physical. We definitely want to make a name for ourselves in this conference. So I'm going to just say we come in.
Awesome.
Yes, just piggybacking off what they said. You know, this will be a new brand of football for all of us. New coaching staff, new support staff. You know, it's going to be a fun one for us. So I'll just leave it at that.
All right, gentlemen, I appreciate you all for joining us here on CUSA Insider. Your first time on the episode, but hopefully not your last time on the show this season. But I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day. Go have fun. I'm glad that you got to stop here first. We got all the fun questions in early. But Coach Mack, Christian, Jericho, thank you all so much for being here. And go Owls.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to everyone down there in Kennesaw, Georgia, for joining us on the show. Lots of insight there for the Kennesaw State Owls team. Super excited to get all of our teams playing in action this week, the official week one of football. But we did play a game last week, too.
Yes, we did. It was a fun one. Obviously just happy that we were able to be part of the, you know, brief week zero slate, get a couple of our teams out there on national television for some fans, even outside of our footprint, to see a couple of our schools. WKU put on a great show. I think they kind of performed how we expected them to. Maverick McIver stepped right into that WKU quarterback position and just get through for a casual 401 yards, three touchdowns. Yeah. Now he did throw the ball like 51 times. So, you know, I know a lot of people were kind of ragging on him because they were like, oh, well, you know, it's yards per 10, blah, 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 blah. It's week one. It was a conference game. I'll kind of excuse
give him some slack,
but no, I think he looked great there. You know, I know we talked about it in their preview and at media day with this whole thing about how, you know, Tyson Helton wants their guy to be under center looking like John Wayne. And I think you saw it, right? I think that he, you know, looked like he had been there for a couple of years already. Obviously there was a lot of missed throws cause guys are still learning routes or, you know, he's getting used to working with some of these guys, but for the most part, I mean, he was slinging that thing.
Yeah.
There were some really good plays, some really bright stars, I think, with Marvis Parrish, running back. He was our freshman of the week. He had 110 all-purpose yards for the Tops. He got his first career touchdown. So, you know, things were clicking for him. And I'm excited to see, you know, we talked about how key the rest of their non-conference slate is. They obviously got a big test against Toledo. They played LSU later in the season. I mean, we'll get to that one.
Yeah.
You'll see where they're at in the season once that one rolls around in mid-November. But, you know, Sam Houston, I think, obviously, yeah, it's tough to take a loss. But I think if you're a fan of theirs, you've got to feel pretty confident in what you saw from Hunter Watson in the new offense under Coach Phil Longo. You know, it really just came down to, you know, there were some costly penalties. They could not convert on third down.
Yep.
I think they would finish the game, you know, like one of 13 on or 2 of 13 on third down. So, I mean, if you can't convert on the money down, I mean, you just can't expect to be building those drives. guys. But, you know, we saw with a long 55-yard run by Hunter Watson, he had some, you know, some decent throws. They were able to move the ball, you know, pretty well against WKU. But, you know, just that second half, they kind of ran out of gas a little bit. So,
yeah,
they get an interesting one at UNLV, or with UNLV coming to them this week after UNLV almost got shocked by Idaho State. So
that was tough. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. But yeah, it was awesome. I was just so happy to be, I was watching football all day, as I'm sure the rest of us were, you know, watching the kickoff game in Dublin,
the Ireland game. Yeah.
Yep. Watching the UNLV game, watching just anything that was on, because I was just so excited for football to be back.
Yes. And now we've got a ton happening this weekend. We hope you will tune in to the Conference USA matchups that are going on. Just so you know, if you're wondering why we're talking about certain things, I don't know, out of order, we do pre-record these episodes a few days in advance. Some depth charts haven't been released yet. Some things are going on. It's just the best we can do, as we do have full-time jobs here as Conference USA staff members. So we do our best. But yes, Sam Houston, WKU, great to get a conference matchup out of the way. I know it's exciting and tough at the same time. WKU has a win in the Conference USA column. Now Sam Houston has a loss. They scored plenty of points. Sam Houston did. WKU just throws the ball around the yard a little bit and they scored more.
Yeah.
So yes, I thought that, yeah, it was good to see some great stuff out of those programs this weekend. If you watched any Sam Houston ball last year when you were getting some like 10-7 final scores and things like that, you got to look at this and be like, okay, we've put some points on the board. Like, right. this is good. This is going in a right direction. So we'll see what we get out of Sam Houston the rest of the way. And I mean, you know, WKU showed a lot of stuff, but I'm sure there's still some question marks looking at tape for that team now, having been through a week of play, that we're going to get some answers to as we move on through the season. So
yeah,
exciting stuff for sure. All right. Well, this is our final preview episode here on CUSA Insider. Back to our regularly scheduled programming starting next week. So who knows what will happen this weekend? I don't know who we're going to interview next week. I know nothing, because we're going to wait and see what happens in week one, not just with football, but we've also got volleyball starting this weekend. We could have some fun storylines coming out of there. We don't know. It's just going to be fun here on CUSA Insider, starting back to our Thursday episodes next week. So if you want to find us and tune in to all of that, make sure you're following us on social media at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. And then make sure that you are finding us on YouTube. If you'd like to watch our episodes, search Conference USA and you'll find the CUSA Insider podcast playlist right there at the top of the home screen. And then if you are still an audio only listener, you can still find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. And we're just happy to have you guys here. Appreciate your viewership. Appreciate your listening. Hoping that we have some more fans join us throughout the year, because we really enjoy doing these podcast episodes for you, and we hope that you enjoy them too. Well, that's it for us today. Thank you so much for listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, signing off.